Presidential debates are as much like actual debates as Disney's Frontierland is like the actual Old West. Media consultants recreate an image, but they abolish the sweat, flies, gunplay, and horse piles. The campaigns have taken something fascinating and even a little dangerous and tried to make it pretty and safe enough for children. Many of the provisions in the debate agreement between the candidates may strike civilians as mere personal vanity, but they have some kind of political logic. The campaigns insist that there be no camera shots of their candidates standing together. John Kerry is markedly taller than President Bush. But in 1988, it was the first President Bush who was visibly taller than Michael Dukakis. Debate coordinators made the two candidates stand on risers that could be adjusted to equal heights, like Alan Ladd doing a scene with Veronica Lake. Of course, Napoleon was short, but Napoleon never debated anyone without a nice long sword and a horse to sit on. The campaigns also insist that the air conditioning at each debate be turned up high so that the candidates will not visibly perspire. This is so no candidate looks like Richard Nixon in 1960, when Mr. Nixon sweated through his swarthy 5 o'clock shadow in the debate against a tanned and freshly shaven Jack Kennedy. Mr. Nixon twice won the presidency later, after he got a good makeup man. But most politicians would rather resemble Darth Vader than Richard Nixon in 1960. Mr. Vader was tall and had a kind of charisma. There is one provision for the second town hall-style debate scheduled for October 8th that is new and, to my mind, objectionable. The citizens attending that debate will be invited to submit questions. The moderator, Charles Gibson of ABC, will then select the questions so that they can fairly pose an equal number to each candidate about a full range of issues. But debate provisions say, quote, "If any audience member poses a question or makes a statement that is in any material way different than the question that the audience member earlier submitted to the moderator for review, the moderator will cut off the questioner." Now, that provision may be there to prevent audience members from sneaking in unscheduled partisan speeches or Howard Stern fans from saying something mischievous. But don't the citizens asking questions have the right to be something more than visible demographic props? Shouldn't they have the freedom to ask a candidate a new question that follows up on a previous answer? Wouldn't the candidates welcome a chance to show they can respond to something unexpected? Do we really want to have a debate, an exercise of democracy, in which any American citizen is cut off from saying anything for any reason?